Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I'm going to start with the oldest piece first because we just have never talked about this, you and I, on the air. And if I don't, we never will. I know it's going back a little bit in time, but I want to ask the question. The rebranding logo. I have said I like it, but I have also said that one of the things I really admired about you for the first 3 years of your administration was that you didn't do what Ashton or Grover did, which was try to put your special moniker, logo, slogan, brand on the city. And I'd have to rescind my complimenting you on not trying to do this. And all of a sudden, here we have a one. So that's part one, is doing it at all. Part two is, why not some kind of public input like you did with the street sweepers? Why not? Why money to some, you know, company? Why not something that's a little bit more public engagement, you know, public looking? Those are the questions I think people are asking. So your answers.
Sure. Well, first, I appreciate the 2 years and 11 months of support before we got here.
It was strong support. You know, I thought it was good.
A lot lasted. Yeah, there's a couple of things. And when we say, well, you know, that we put our own or the mayor puts their own moniker on, I mean, let me be clear. You know, my face isn't in any of the logos. What this really is this is a modernization of not only look, we've had the same logo for, so you talk about, well, there's been these different deviations. Yeah, there has been different terms used, but the same, 25-year-old logo the horizontal Pensacola logo, that isn't as translatable to today in the uses that we want to use it on, nor does anybody really understand what it is, that was really the refresh. So, and then a couple of things to that, you know, the biggest misnomer that I hear out there is, oh, you pay $25,000 for a logo. No, anybody who's, you know, this is probably my sixth or seventh branding or rebranding in my life, in previous lives, branding or rebranding, and understand how many things come with that. I mean, I believe the brand guideline book is about 35 pages. There's multiple logos, the port, the police, the airport, that have some tie to the original logo. So those all need to be changed. There's letterhead that needs to get done. There's different settings on several different things. And so that's not just for the city of Pensacola. That's for whether it's a private company, it's a restaurant, it's a, you know, just a private business. That it's much, anybody who says, well, it's just for a logo, then it gives off the impression that they lack the understanding of what goes into something of this depth. So I believe the rebrand in 2010 or 12, whatever it was for 12, 13 years ago, I believe just the rebranding stuff was $82,000 13 years ago. So, I mean, I'm certainly appreciative of the local company cares enough about our community to be able to work with us and try to make it as budget friendly as possible, given the hundreds of hours that it takes to go and weave through all of that. So we really like it. The public engagement aspect of it is extremely difficult versus if we were doing a flag, we've actually talked about that, like a city flag, that's been a popular thing.
Okay.
Where it's one image that we're voting on again. And that goes back to the misnomer. The misnomer is, all we would need is to have the public create one logo. No, we need to have the public create a 35-page document, including color scheme, including all of these other deviations. And that's just not realistic to have as a quote-unquote public thing. But on these one-offs, on a sign, on a flag, things like that, again, we've done it. So there's no reason we wouldn't want to do that. But sometimes we can do contests publicly, and sometimes it's just not feasible to do.
All right. And, you know, again, I get the concept of trying to, you know, Facebook has a logo, Instagram has a logo, AT&T has a logo. This is the Pensacola logo. And it does show that character of easily recognizable across all these different color variations and meanings and agencies and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate that. There's still a part of me that wishes we could have done like, here's our two or three different ones and then let the public vote, as opposed to the public invent it all themselves. But I understand too. And, you know, you're going to spend $75,000, then you get more upset people because you made three instead of just one. I get all that as well. Let's talk about the visits that you took to, what, you went to Washington, you went to L.A. and to Tallahassee. Is that right, in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, the late January floor. Yeah, Washington for U.S. Mayor's winter annual meeting, then L.A. for the leadership meeting for U.S. mayors and And then home for 26 hours for the Mardi Gras parade, and then back to Tallahassee for all of my meetings to pound the pavement for our stuff over there. So, it's been a flurry of advocacy, but very good and generally productive, we feel like.
And anything particular I know, it's ridiculous in a couple of minutes to ask, but, you know, is there anything that people would take away as, oh, well, that's a pretty big either learning thing or exposure or advancement of a goal?
Yeah, I mean, a few different things. It was interesting. I was invited. Part of going to L.A. was be invited to Google, to the Spruce Goose hangar where Howard Hughes built the Spruce Goose. Google has turned that into their L.A. office. And they actually did a full day, kind of 4 or 5 hours workshop with mayors all over the country on just what's coming in AI. So that was a pretty cool thing to be invited to, and certainly learned a lot about what's on the forefront. But from an advocacy standpoint, certainly the ACW conversations that we've had, we had two different meetings during that time with EPA, including about a dozen EPA folks federally last week as a follow-up. So I'm very, very encouraged by that. And we've met with FDOT in Tallahassee. We've met with the governor's office in Tallahassee. We've been busy for a reason. And again, that's part of the urgency of what's going on in the city. When you got a lot of projects, you got a lot of things to advocate for, or funding deltas to make up and things like that. So the more action you have in the pinball machine, the more you need to be out there making sure that everything's going the way that you want to. So it's a good problem to have that we need to be out there because we're staying busy.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things that I had wanted to ask you about is, it's a big subject. It's an ongoing, long-standing thing, but the American Creosote Works. I know you talked about it a little bit yesterday in your press conference. This is the L Street and Gimbel and Pine, that huge area in there that has been vacant and basically fenced off for forever. As I understand it, phase one is getting ready to begin, but even phase one is still a few million dollars short, and there's several phases past that before this can ever actually be a usable site. Tell me what I don't understand, or tell me what the time frame is here.
Pretty good synopsis. 18 acres, basically south of Main Street as you're going west towards Brancas, and then north, of course, of the Sanders Beach neighborhood. So 18 acres has been labeled a Superfund site since 1982, 2 years before I was born. So I think we've waited long enough here in the community. But the key aspects are 2021, we get funded in the $35, $40 million range. Well, as everything else happens, it takes 5 years to get going. So there's an $8.6 million delta for phase one. Extraction to actually extract the creosote off of the site. And that's north of $60 million of phase two. And that is just unfunded. So where are we today? Where we're today is, yes, unlike the city government, where we can't start on a warehouse on the port until all the money is procured and voted on. So federal government, I guess, doesn't have that same issue, or it's already in separate buckets, but they are going to start scraping some of the yards outside of the fence line which has always been step one of phase one. And that will actually start in this July. So work will begin. But here's the good news. What I can tell you is, and I mentioned it when you asked me about the advocacy trips, is that I've had several meetings with EPA. This is kind of the one that we've got clenched in our jaw right now, and we aren't going to let go. We've made that clear with them. And listen, we met with the Deputy Secretary of EPA on a previous Washington, D.C. trip, and he said, hey, the Trump administration is going to cut red tape. And this is with 30 mayors in the room. So they asked for questions. I raised my hand and said, well, I've got the project for you. we have one that's been super fun since 1982. So if you want to prove it, you can come prove it in Pensacola. And so so we kind of built some momentum on that. So that comment led to about three meetings. And again, the last meeting I had with EPA had about 12 people federally on it, which is generally a good sign. And so there's some more things to work through, but I guess what I can say to you today is I feel extremely, extremely optimistic about the coming weeks on what may happen with EPA. That's what I can say right now.
Okay.
I think the advocacy has been very worthwhile, and as things get buttoned up and T's crossed, I's dotted, we'll We'll see what the good news is. But I feel like we're in a much, much better position as I'm on the phone with you today than we were 30 days ago.
So optimistically realistic, realistically optimistic, something like that about, you know,
right.
best within the range of what's actually possible is where we're at. Is that a fair way to say it?
That's a fair way to say it, and it's fair to say that this is on directly on the EPA's radar, and
right.
I feel very confident saying that they are in the same advocacy motivation for this particular project that I am.
I know in your press conference, you keep getting asked about the hotel, obviously, and I appreciate your response that, well,
right.
look, they're not in code violation. It is private property. There's very limited things that we can do, you know, and they're being much better, even though we hate missing the hotel, they're at least being, you know, fairly decent civic partners, certainly compared to the owners of the property up on Palafox, the old medical facility. But I have a different question, and people have been asking me, and I don't know the answer. The old FPL building or the old Gulf Power building, which is, I think, vacant or mostly vacant, what's the future there? Is there, I've heard people say they might, you know, maybe Burdon would put their headquarters in there, whether that would take up the whole thing or not. That would also carry some parking with it. I don't know. What is the future of that building, if we know?
Yeah, the last update I received, again, and keep in mind, thank you for saying that, because there's always that misunderstanding when there's a big empty building in the city that the city somehow has authority
right. exactly.
over those things. You know, sometimes I wish that were the case. Sometimes I'm glad it isn't.
Right.
But in this particular case, it is a private transaction between FPL. Last I heard, it is under contract with a private owner. I met with them with this group previous to it going under contract, just for familiarity's sake. I think they would be looking at multiple different opportunities there. I certainly
okay.
wouldn't want to speak for them on what they think is the highest and best use of that building. But point is step one is positive, which is if there's somebody interested in activating the building, the last thing we want is an empty building
on
Bayfront. So if we can have commerce and office or whatever, retail, hotel, whatever they want to do, anything there being activated is a good thing. And secondly, I'm encouraged by this particular group, if they close, if this moves forward, that they are open to have conversations with the city about any opportunities that may be available. So that was, I would say, generally positive. But at this point, ultimately, the transaction is in the hands of FPL and its broker. And whether that gets closed on or signed off on or not, or whether it did yesterday or not, I'm not aware that it's fully closed. But I do know that it was moving.
Okay.
And Burdon is a good example, I think. I think that was a conversation that came up as a kind of a what if, is that the 500 off-port jobs that will come with Burdon, maybe that would be a good location for it.
You know, and I don't think we really have time to get into it, but there's a lot of little things that are going on that are really cool. We've reported on the Skill Bridges workshop for getting the veterans transitioned into work. But also,
yep.
I love that Wings for All program that, and no, John, it's not Buffalo Wings for All. It's getting people who are neurodivergent and get stressed out by flying, putting them in an airplane on the tarmac to get accustomed to the idea of it so that then they would be able to fly, or at least, you know, have that experience,
yeah.
even if it never produces a fly. I mean, it's little things like that, that I, you know, it's sort of like the finishing touches on the trim in your house that just, they make all the difference for a city. And I love that program. So that's a wonderful thing. Just quickly, because we don't have time to really delve in, is the shutdown affecting anything for us, court, like at the port with TSA, with the airport? Are we still kind of doing okay on all these things, or just generally?
Short answer is no change, no concern at this point.
Okay.
You know, it's always a moving target. Don't get mad at me if something changes in a week or 2 weeks out there. But no, as of this moment, we have checked specifically on those things. We should expect no changes. And I actually met with some of the TSA leadership when I was at the airport with Art Gateway and Delta yesterday. So I think we're good to go for now.
Very good. I always like to end with a lightning round. How exactly does DC Reeves prefer to open a door that you push on? You push on the wood or the glass? You push on the handle? You push with your feet? Are you a door kicker or a door pusher? What's your preference?
I'm a classic. I'm just thinking about a push door with no handle on it. I'm just going to use my hand.
Okay.
Feel like that's why they put that little plate on it.
Okay, so you're an obeyer then. You know, you do what they tell you to do.
Not germaphobe enough to must use my foot.
All right, very good.
My feet. Then it's going to hit me in the forehead. You know, so I'm going to just trust my hand to get the job done.
What is in your glove box in your car?
Key
items.
probably manuals, because if I put something there, I'll forget it's in there. So that's, generally it's just whatever stuff came with the car.
Oh, okay. So no additions. Interesting. And last question. This is an important one. How many books, physical paper books, do you own in your house?
Actually, in front of I'm looking at bookcases right now. I'm going to just take one. I'm going to say there's 12 on that shelf. I'm going to say 200.
Okay. All right.
Something like that.
All right. That's
Is there a certain like intelligence level? Is it 201?
John says he owns 12, and Andrew says he owns about 1,000. So you're right in the middle.
Well, I've got a couple of empty shelves on top. If you've got any, if you're doing a
John apparently likes to give away books, so maybe you guys can get together and arrange something a little bit later. Looking forward to the meeting.
I'll give him 5 books. You can give me a couple hundred.
My wife would love me for that, and love you for taking them. Very good, Mayor DC Reeves. Always a pleasure. So we look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.